So this morning, I want to start off with something that I love to do. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Aaron. I am the youth pastor here. And a quick story, one of the things I love to do is when me and my wife first started hanging out together, that's my wife, her name is Angie, I'll revert to her a few times today, she's right there. I'm not going to ask her to stand or wave or do anything crazy, that's not who she is. But anyway, when we started dating, we did something that has transcended through anything that I've ever done. But we started playing this game, it's called One Question. And we would ask each other questions, and we take turns, and we would spend hours on her parents' balcony on a swing, just talking. Probably because that expedited time of 8 months between the day we knew each other, but the day we first started talking to the day we got married was about 8 months. So those were some integral times of getting to know each other. So we started playing this game, One Question, and we ran through a lot of things in those seasons. And so when we started doing youth ministry here, I brought that to this group. And right, so every time someone new comes, we say, all right, let's ask them some questions and let them be a part of our family, right? And so this morning, I'm going to welcome you into my family and all the things that I love to do. So my one question for today is, what is a moment that you will never forget? Because I think the reality is that oftentimes we know that time is what we measure our life in, right? But time is so fleeting, and especially when you have young ones like I do. 2 seconds ago, Sky was this tall, and now she's, almost as tall as me. It's not true. She's only 4. But either way, we understand that time is fleeting, but the thing that we know is that we can hold on to moments that we never will forget. So obviously, there are times of happiness, right? There's moments when, we got married. That's a happy memory. When we had kids, happy memories. There's some pain in there, Childbirth isn't always fun. I like to think that I was a part of the painful process. My wife would probably tell you I wasn't, but I was there, I was helping. But, so there's times, that have pain in there, but there's times of happiness. Vacations, we've gone on a few vacations in our life. We don't live on vacation, but, we do that. We go and we have those happy times. But there are those moments of happiness. And in the same way, there's a lot of moments where, we do go through seasons or times and moments of pain. Maybe we've lost a loved one. Maybe we have some sort of sickness or diagnosis. Maybe we've lost a job. Maybe we have gone through a divorce or something like that, right? And those are moments of pain. But the thing I want to talk about this morning especially is that those moments of pain can be overshadowed to a degree, or at least helped. You know what I mean? I know that sometimes those things don't just go away, and I'm not here to tell you, just trust in the Lord. And yeah, that's helpful. But when we've lost people, a lot of times those Christian cliches don't help a lot, but that's just me. I speak for me. But these moments of hope that can overshadow some of those painful times. Because if there's one thing I've seen, especially in youth ministry, is that the thing I think that we are fighting most as a culture is this idea and this idea of hopelessness, right? And how that hopelessness leads us into places of despair and depression and anxiety. And when we don't think there's hope, when we don't think there's ever going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, those are the times that seem empty. And it seems like life might not be worth it. And so what I want to do this morning is help us understand that we serve the God of hope. And we serve someone who can give us that hope. So as we light the Advent candle this morning, we're going to talk about the God of hope.
Hey, Mom. Merry Christmas. How are you doing? Great. Great. That's awesome. Well, I'm really sorry, first of all, that Jason and I couldn't be there with you this year, but we have some news. So we just got back from the doctor's yesterday, and we're expecting. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Yes, oh my word, we are so excited. You know, we've been trying so long, and I just can't even believe it's happening. I can't believe this time, next year, we're going to have a baby. I know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I guess this will be our last Christmas with just the two of us. Can you believe it? Jason's already thinking we'll be out of the trailer by the time the baby's here. Yeah. I don't know about that, but for sure we'll be there next Christmas with a baby in tow. It's just, oh, it's so surreal even thinking that way. If I'm honest, I kind of lost hope for a while. It just didn't seem like it was ever going to happen for us. Yeah, that verse you shared from Isaiah was a huge encouragement to me, though. It's definitely one I've leaned on over the past few years. I want to thank you, Mom. That meant so much to me during this time. Honestly, you might need to remind me of it again once the baby comes and we are just exhausted. I hear that's a thing. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll call you in a few days. I still have a bunch of other calls to make because you were obviously the first person we wanted to tell. Yeah, we're calling Aunt Carol next. Okay. All right, thanks, Mom. I love you. Bye, Mom.
In every season, he came to give us hope. He came to change the way that we look at life. That he came to save us from all of those things and to overshadow all the despair and the pain and the things that we walk through. He came to do that. He came to give us hope. And in this series, we are going to be talking about those meaningful moments of Christmas. And this morning, we're going to be looking at, and as we go through the series, we're going to be looking at the moments in that first Christmas that changed everything and that we could never forget. If you're anything like me, like there are a lot of memories, you know what I mean? As we walk through Christmas, as we walk through our lives, there's Christmas moments that stand out, right? There was my first Christmas with my wife. There's my first Christmas when we had a little baby, and we have a picture of her. It looks like she had a big Santa cone hat on with her elephant or something like that. And I'll remember that forever. Nothing's going to steal that away. But there's these moments that we have of Christmas. And like I said, there's going to be seasons when we're going through those same things where we have moments of Christmases without someone that has been so dear to us and who we can't fathom living without. And like Isaac talked about, like it's going to be hard. But we serve a God who is able to change environments. We serve a God who is able to give us hope in the midst of all of those things. And so today I want to talk about the moment that we choose to obey. Because I think if there's one thing I continue to hold on to is that we have no idea what God can do through one moment of obedience. We have no idea what God is able to do when we choose to obey, because I truly believe it is our choice. And each of us has countless moments that we look back on in our lives and we remember when God asked us to do this or that. And we had no idea what God was going to do, but we know that the outcomes of that obedience and those moments changed everything. That we are who we are because those moments we chose to obey. And perhaps there's a few moments that we chose to, Lord, that's a little much. I don't really want to pray for that guy in the middle of Walmart just wearing his pajamas. I didn't really want to do that. God, I hear you calling me to pray for that person. I hear you calling me to do that thing, but it's going to put me, they're going to think I'm weird. And I haven't done the things that God has asked me to do. And we're left with that, man, what did I miss out on? What did they miss out on? Where did I go wrong? And God is graceful and he forgives and all those things. But like we're left in that season where maybe we don't obey all the time. And maybe we're called to, you know, think about that. And all right, next time I'll do it. And I think one of the things that the Lord has shared with me often, especially when I choose not to, or I lose focus, or I procrastinate, you know, I tend to do that. But one of my favorite things about God in those times and in all the times is that he doesn't need us, right? So he calls me to do this, and I go, and I miss it. And I hope that I don't just say, no way, God, I'm not doing that. Like, it's hopefully a little bit more holy than that. And I just go, I missed it. When I miss it, and I think the thing that God keeps teaching me is he doesn't necessarily need us. He wants to. He wants me to do those things, and he chooses to use me. But, like, there's a reality that he can use the rocks to cry out, and he can use donkeys to speak. Like, he has the ability to break through the normal ways in supernatural ways, and he has the ability to do that. And my favorite thing, like I said, is that he doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us to walk these things out. He chooses to use us when we choose to obey. Because the thing that I love the most is that in a loving relationship between God and us, it's not love if we don't have a choice to obey. It's not love if we don't have a choice to follow him. So he doesn't need us, but he wants to use us to be a part of the story. And I think that Jesus' birth may be the single most important moment in all of human history. And I hear you. Well, what about his death? Well, guess what? He can't die if he isn't born. So I go back to that. He used a lot of people and a lot of players in that story, as he does today. We all have a part to play. We all have to choose to accept that call. We have to choose to be a part of his story and obey. And I think one of the biggest players in that very first Christmas was Jesus's earthly father, Joseph. And if you're like me, I like to put myself, and it's just the way I read any book, any story, I put myself in the center and I go, what would I do in their shoes? And so Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, has literally no blood in this son that's about to be born. He's Jesus' earthly father who, you know, he's come to be God's own son, and he's Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to save his people from their sins. And he's like, and I'm supposed to do what? Just walk with him? I mean, I'm going to walk God down the way. I'm going to teach him things like that. God, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that he's in a bit of a flux, if you will, with what his role is in this story. But just like in our lives, God is loving, and he walks with us, and he shows us, yeah, Aaron, this is your part. And you might not see the biggest picture, but here's your thing today. Here's what I want you to do today. And I feel like that's what he did with Joseph. And we really don't know that much about him other than that he was a carpenter. He was a husband to Mary. And he was entrusted to raise Jesus from birth. And the last time we really hear about him is when Jesus is 12. And, you know, they forget him at the temple. And they go back and, like, oh, where were you? And he says things like, well, why would you not know as a 12-year-old? Why would you not know that I would be in my father's house? And I don't know how Joseph took that comment, like, who am I? I mean, maybe he knew the truth and just always felt like the imposter, if you will. I don't know. Sometimes I say things. But I don't know how he felt. But I bet you that was a weird thing. But we don't know that much about Joseph after Jesus was 12. But we presume that he was not still on the earth when he started his ministry, Jesus did, when he was 30. Right? So, like, we don't know a lot about him. But what we do know is that he was a righteous, just, and faithful man in the passage that we're going to read today, who would do what God asked. And that obedience would change everything. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says this. If you have your Bibles, I love to read from my actual Bible. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that passage, and I will read it also up on your screen. So verse 18 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He did what God asked him to do. And in those days, I'm sure you can imagine, Mary is pregnant, and Joseph knows that he was not a part of that process. And in those days, being pregnant, technically they were married, right? But technically they hadn't gone through the marriage ceremony. So, and she's pregnant, and people knew that. In those times, like, he had the ability to disgrace her. He had the ability to shame her publicly, like in town square, for this presumed scandalous behavior. And he could have ruined her for all time, right? He had that ability. But it says that Joseph was a righteous man and didn't want to put her to shame. So he would do the honorable thing and divorce her quietly. And I'm sure in his heart, he would say, no. Like, and how many times in our life we're called to obey and we're like, oh, okay, I'll do this. Well, no. I hear you saying you want me to do this, but how about I just do this instead, right? In this halfway house that we can sometimes fall into. But I'm sure that was a hopeless situation, you know, where he's called to do this and he was like, well, but how about I just divorce her quietly? I don't want to, you know, stay and go through all this disgrace and all the hearsay and all the gossip. I don't want to do that. I'll just quietly. And I'm sure that was a hopeless moment in his conversation with God afterwards, probably. And he was like, well, what now, God? I'm an honorable man. Why would you do this to me? You're calling me to what? And the angel comes in and says, do not fear. What? Do not fear? Like, what are you even talking about? Conceived of the Holy Spirit? Come on. That's not real life, right? I hear in my own self, in my flesh, those are the things that I would be saying. Conceived of the Holy Spirit? Okay. But none of these things came out of his mouth. He didn't argue. He didn't say it's not fair. He didn't ask for more information. He obeyed, and he did what he was asked to do. Because the reality is, you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. You don't have to understand it all. You don't have to have the whole story in order to obey and say, God, I trust you. No matter what, I trust you. And I'm not telling you this morning that it's easy. It's not easy, and I understand it. So many times in my life, he's called me to do things that I was like, what? There's no way. I need to understand this, God. He's like, just walk with me, right? But Joseph didn't understand the story. He didn't know that he was going to have to go 100 miles to Bethlehem right around the time that Jesus would be born. He didn't know that he would be born Jesus in the barn. He didn't know that Herod would come to kill this baby. He didn't know that he would have to then flee to Egypt. But without any details other than this baby, Jesus, will save his people from their sins, and I'm entrusting him to you, and a few other things that I'm sure Joseph didn't even understand, he obeyed immediately. And I'm tempted to think about things like, well, what if Joseph had been more like me, in my youngness especially, and said, no thanks. Go ahead, why don't you call somebody else? This is too much, God. too much. And I think sometimes that's the way that I look at things. And I go like, I don't know, God, that seems too much. Maybe someone else can have that. And I think the thing that I have learned along this path is that, you know, sometimes obedience isn't easy. And sometimes, I'm out all the time, there's always a cost to obedience. There just is. There's always a cost. There's always something that you will come against. There's always something that you put to sacrifice or you have to put away for obedience sake. Because in the end, you have to choose him over whatever it is that you're trying to do in yourself. You have to choose him over whatever it is that you wanted to do in this next season, right? Sometimes God is going to ask you, and a lot of these are my stories, right? And sometimes God's going to ask you to end a relationship. And you're left with, if you're like me, you're going to go, but God, I'll be alone. I don't want to be alone. That's my biggest fear on earth. I don't want to be alone. I'm a people person. I love to be around people. I love to do things. And please, please don't let me be alone. That's the last thing I want. No. Am I enough? You know, right? So we're left with those things. And then he calls you to forgive people. And I'm like, God, don't you understand what he did? Don't you understand how hurt I was? Don't you understand? And sometimes he calls us to start serving. Sometimes he calls us to start giving. Sometimes he calls us to do something that is outside our realm of comfort. And you're left with, well, God, I don't have that much to give. Personally or financially. And if I'm honest, I'm kind of comfy right here. I like my little life over here, right? And I think, to me, one of the biggest things that I had to sacrifice in my life when God started calling and asking me to do things was my own comfort and my own plans for my life and my own things that I wanted my life to be about. Because at the end, you know, you're going to be left with, what is it that God is asking me to do? And what is it that he wants from me? And is that going to be more important? Is that going to be the thing that I choose over what I want? Because there is a cost. And most of the time, he doesn't give us the details that make everything make sense. But we can choose to obey and trust him, regardless of what we know and regardless of what we feel, knowing that he is worthy and he's trustworthy and he's able to know what it is that he's asking us to do. And he has the end in sight, right? The reality is that there is a cost, but obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is his. And I think for me, that was the hardest thing. Is like, I know that I can obey, but then what? Trusting him with the outcome, trusting him with the things that are outside of our hands, that's a tough one. And there is a cost, but the outcome is worth it. Whatever he's asking you to do, we can trust that it is for either our good or for someone else's, right? Because the Bible says all the time that all things, not some things, not only these things, all things work together for our good who are called according to his purpose, right? All things. So he's going to work all of them together. So even in the midst of obedience and all the things that we struggle with, he's going to work those things out for our good. And if you're anything like me, he's going to use all the dumb stuff that I did my whole life. And even in the midst of those, he's going to use those for my good. All things he's going to use. And so we can trust him with everything that he asks us to do and say, God, I don't understand it, but I trust you to do the thing that only you can. I trust you to make a way and figure these things out for me. And when I don't understand immediately, I'm going to still obey. And I'm going to do what you ask me to do. In my life, there was a season where I left all of my friends. I left my relationship that I was in because I knew it wasn't God-honoring. I left my job, and I even left my Mustang. It was hard. It wasn't hard, but I left it all because I knew that God had something for me, and I had to let go of everything that made me me to a degree. And this is my calling. This isn't for everyone, and I understand. This is just what he asked me to do. So I had to give up those things. And I had to walk with him, and I had to trust him. Because in my life, I didn't like being alone. I liked who I was. I liked this person that I projected, even though it was fake. I drove my Mustang everywhere. It was part of me. I loved my job. It was part of me. It was something that I was really good at. And this relationship was something that kept me from moving forward because I was so afraid of being alone that I didn't want to give up and have to live with myself in that season. And I'm going to tell you the truth, and it's without waiver, that the Lord called me out of all those things. And for 3 years, I lived in a little box house all by myself. I went to work every day. I came home, and I just hung out with him a lot. And I will tell you that those 3 years were hard because I'm not a lone person. I didn't have anybody over almost the whole 3 years. I don't think I had anybody over. It was just me. But I had time to spend with the Lord and spend in asking God what he had for me. And oftentimes he would tell me the same things over and over again. He said, Aaron, stick with it. What I have for you is more than you can imagine. Aaron, don't give up. Aaron, don't settle. Don't be in a hurry. What I have for you is more than you can imagine. And when he told me that the first time, like obviously I put through that my filter and I say, well, the only thing I'm really looking for, God, and I'm telling you in all honesty, like I was chasing after the Lord, but I was chasing after him with the idea that once I got close to him, he would finally give me the thing that I actually wanted the most, and that was my wife. And it was so backwards, and I understand it, but I'll be honest with you, like I really wanted to be close with God because I knew it was what he wanted, and I knew it was best for me. But in a twisted way, I look back and I go, well, yeah, but I really just hoped that my obedience would, and it's real life, I guess, to some degree, but my obedience would give me the thing that I wanted the most. And so when he gave me this word over and over again about how what he has for me is better than I can imagine, I said, oh, man, I hope so. And so when I finally did meet Angie, I go, oh, yes, the word has finally been confirmed and the word has finally made itself to reality. But the funniest part about the story is that God isn't held back by time or instance, right? And the reality is, yes, like, one of the biggest pieces of the puzzle for me was the day that I met Angie and the day that we started this plan together and the day that we got married and the day that, you know, we started this life. But the reality of the situation is this more than I could imagine, more than I could fathom, just started in that lonely box house. And it built to this, and then it builds and builds until I get married, and then it keeps building. Because at this point, like, I'm still doing next to nothing. Like, it keeps building, and then we have two little girls at home, 7 and 4, Kendall and Sky. Like, now we have this more than I can imagine, more than I can fathom. And then you look at the youth ministry that I've been blessed to be a part of for over, like, 10 years or something now, and, like, years before that, too. And I look at, and I can think and remember all of the students that have gone through that I've been a part of. And it's not my ministry by any stretch. It's just something that the Lord has allowed me to be a part of, right? And I think of all of those kids that I've been a part of, all those kids that have encouraged me, and all those people who made me the man that I am. They get all the credit. I get to hang out with them every week. That's me, right? That's my gift. I hope that they're different because they met me, sure. And that's not prideful to say. I hope that they have the same feeling about me that I have about them. I hope that they know how much I care about them. And I hope that they know how much they've encouraged me. But the more than I can imagine is each one of their lives that I've been able to be a part of. That's a blessing to me, right? And that's more than I could imagine, more than I could fathom, this life that the Lord has given me. Because one day I said, God, I'm gonna get rid of everything and I'm just gonna follow you. And then there's this voice that I've been given. And I never thought this would be the person that I would become. I never thought that. But one day, as I was walking this path of aloneness in my little box house, I started to think about something. And I said, man, God, my grandfather was a pastor in this community for a long time. And I'm big about like passing things down. And I said, God, what about this? And I was praying about it. And so I went to my mentor at the time. I said, hey, man, like, I've been thinking about this, and I just want you to pray about it, see what you think. I don't know if this is something he wants for me, but I know my grandfather was this person. What do you think about him passing this on to me? He was still alive at the time. And he, you know, prayed about it for a season. And he came back and said, Aaron, I just really think that your calling is with the one-on-one. Your calling is just praying for people. Your calling is just being a friend to people. And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay with that. Man, seriously, I'm okay with that. I really am. Last week, I had the pleasure of being downstairs working in check-in, and one of the security guys was there, and the conversation started something like this. Hey, man, I have two girls. You have two boys. Would you ever, you know, think about being a girl dad? And because I love it, you know what I mean? He was like, no way, buddy. No way. That's not me. 2 hours later, we're shutting the church down. Out in the parking lot, we're the only two left. And I get it. Like, God has called me into this because I love talking to people. I love talking about what you're passionate about. I love hanging out with people. And I feel bad because, like, when I was young, my mom, who's here also, would tell you, like, we shut the church down every week. And I hated it. I was like, why can't I go home? Mom, are you coming yet? Like, every week, right? And now that's me. And I love the one-on-one. Don't get me wrong. I love meeting people. I love talking to people. And I love that. I love that. But sometimes God continues to call us into more seasons of obedience. And so anyway, back when I started preaching a few times at my previous church, I went to my buddy and I said, hey, like, I remember you told me this one time. And you told me that, you know, this probably wasn't my thing. So I just kind of wanted to know what you thought today. You know what I mean? Like, is this just a one-time thing? I'll just preach every now and again. And it's not really my calling or what? You know what I mean? What do you think now in hindsight? And he told me word for word. He said, there was a shift that happened in your life, Aaron. And God said that I knew that you would do whatever I asked you to do. There was a shift that happened, and he knew that no matter what it was, I was going to just do it. Because I remember the person that I was. And I remember the things that I've been saved from. And I remember all the things that the Lord has done in my life that have brought me to this point. And that was nothing yet, right? In this point in my life, before I met Angie, before I had kids, before I did anything, I came to a realization that whatever God wanted to do in my life, I was going to do it. No matter what, I couldn't not do it. Because I remember having a prayer in the very, very beginning that, God, I don't know what you have for me. I know that I've run away. I don't know what the future holds, but I'll tell you this, whatever you want, I'll do it. If it's just this, if it's just a Sunday school class, I'll do it. If it's praying for people, I'll do it. Because I just want to be used by you somehow. And all of a sudden, here I am. Because God knew that I would do whatever he asked me to do. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I'm not saying that I don't always, you know, question things. I'm a real person. But he knows that I'll do it. And that was a shift that happened in my life. And so there's another shift that happened for me, and it's things that happen when you're a father, when you're a parent, you know that, like, your kids change everything. And so there's another moment in my life that I will never, ever forget. And I was at work, and I received this polo.
Good morning, Daddy, Daddy.
Good morning, Daddy, Daddy.
Kendall just did something really, really important. The most important thing she'll ever do in her whole life. And she just prayed and asked Jesus to come into her heart. So we wanted to send you a polo to let you know we're so happy over here. And now she understands that Jesus is in her heart and he'll always be with her. And she gets to go to heaven when she dies. Love you, Daddy.
Love you, Daddy.
You see that face? That face right there. I hang out with her as much as humanly possible. You know, I have to go to work. I have to do all the things that I have to do. But every day I come home, I get to hang out with them. I don't know how many times I've seen that face. That exact one. Like, she's happy. Don't get me. You know, she laughs. She jokes and blah, blah, blah. But that's something different right there. Something real has happened in her life. And there's a joy in that moment that transcends understanding. She knows in her seven-year-old mind and your seven-year-old heart that something has changed. And she doesn't understand at seven what the call of her life is. She doesn't understand all the things that are going to happen and all the things that are going to come against her. And sometimes we can lower ourselves to, oh, well, you know, she's seven. She doesn't really understand. But something in her brain says something happened. And her face tells you that. Because how many times in our life do we go, hey, all right, I'm going to get saved. Okay, I did this thing. All right, now, all right, I gotta stop smoking. I got to start swimming. I got to stop, you know, watching those things. I got to stop cussing at work. I hope you. And we put those things on ourselves, right? And I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily. Yeah, like it should look like something, obviously. None of those things have crossed Kendall's brain. All she said was, I'm going to obey and do the thing that God is asking me to do. And innately, her life has changed, right? Because she doesn't know that accepting Jesus is supposed to change whatever happens. That doesn't cross her brain. She accepted Jesus, and all of a sudden, she's not as selfish. I get to see her, and my wife would probably attain to this, although she's seven, so it's not a perfect life, but she's less selfish. She's more loving. She's more compassionate to her sister, who can be a bit much. And in the midst of her sister being weird and hitting her, she's protecting of her. Skyle hit her in the face, and then, like, make sure she's waiting there so she doesn't fall off the bed. And Kendall doesn't say, oh, well, you just hit me in the face. I'm going to let you fall on yours. No, she's protective of her sister. Why? Because God changed her heart. He didn't change her actions. He changed her heart, and all of a sudden her actions became different. Something inside of her changed. She's a better helper to her mom. She loves helping Angie cook and clean, and she'll do anything you ask. I've been building a playhouse outside for her and Sky, and she can't wait to bring me whatever it is that I need. She's a great helper. But she didn't do that. She obeyed, and God changed her heart. And I think that's the thing that God is asking us to do this morning. He's asking us to just allow him to change our hearts. Obedience is hard. It's going to cost you. But remember that it's always, always, always worth it. And he has a plan, and we can trust him. Even when we don't understand. And even when it's painful. And even when we've lost all of these things. He is faithful to walk us through everything that we are facing. And we can just say, God, I don't understand it. But God, I trust you. God, I know that you're worthy. And at the end of the day, where else am I going to go? Because we've been through too much together, right? I think the thing that we need to recognize this morning is this idea that Joseph sacrificed everything. He sacrificed his good name to be with a little pregnant girl who says that she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that's an upside down world that we live in sometimes. And we know that the people, he wasn't there to please people, because the people were probably talking some things about him. They were probably gossiping behind his back. So no matter the cost, Joseph obeyed. And he would receive a dream here, and he would receive another dream. All right, now it's your turn. Now we got to go to Egypt. And then he got another dream. Hey, all right, now it's time to come back. Herod's dead. And so he would continually do the thing that God was asking him to do to protect Jesus. And the question that he has for you this morning is, will you do the same thing? Will you give up your own life, whatever that is? Will you give up your will? Will you confess that sin that you've been holding on to? Will you forgive that person that you felt has hurt you so much? Will you apologize to those people that maybe you've hurt? Will you choose this day to start giving, to start serving, to start doing the things that God has asked you to do? Will you pray for those people? Will you share your faith? Will you invite them to church? Whatever it is that he's asking you to do this morning, I know that the Lord is good. And right now, he's talking to me. He's talking to each one of you with something that he would like for you to do today, tomorrow, in the coming season, this Christmas season. What is it that God would have you do? And this morning, he's calling you out in a good way, in a loving, fatherly way. Hey, man, this is something that we need to fix. This is something that we can do. How about you obey in this way? So I'm going to pray. The worship team is going to come. The prayer teams will be up here to pray for you. But whatever it is, wherever you are, my hope and my prayer for you is that you will lay it down and allow the Lord to get into that. And please have a moment of obedience where you say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to obey immediately. Not because I know, not because I anything other than, Lord, I trust you. And you've been faithful before, and you'll be faithful again. And I trust you. So God, this morning, I just pray that you would do a thing that only you can. God, I pray, Lord, that we would lay those things down. God, I pray that we would obey in the midst of everything that we understand, in the midst of the cost and the sacrifice. God, I pray, Lord, that you would be supreme, and we would say, God, I don't understand it, but I give you my heart. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you have the power to change our hearts from the person that we are to the person you're calling us to be. And it's one act of obedience at a time. You're not asking for big things yet, but Lord, it's 1,000 small things. All right, hey, do this one today. Do this one today. And all of a sudden we look back and say, in the world happened to get me here. So God, this morning, I just thank you, Lord, for each one of our stories and each one that just wants to follow you, Lord. So this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would lay those things down. I pray we would serve. I pray that we would give. I pray that we would forgive. And I just pray that we would obey you in all things and know, Lord, that you have our best in mind. God, we just give you our hearts, and we thank you, Lord, for what only you could do. Just bless the rest of the service, and I just thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.